Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Praise the Lord. What a wonderful privilege we have again this morning to learn at the feet of Jesus as he reminds us of our lessons in the last week of experiencing God. I trust that the Lord is already speaking to you and the Lord is already helping you to make major adjustments in your life. I pray that the grace of the Lord will be sufficient for us, that at the end of this exercise, every one of us will have specific testimonies, something to show that indeed we have experienced God and we will continue to experience God in our lives in Jesus' name. We are reviewing week 4, unit 4 of our lesson, and I know that he will speak to us himself. Can we bow our head as we pray together? Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. Thank you because you love us first. You love us to the point that you left your throne and came to die for us. Holy Spirit, we thank you because you are with us presently. You continue to reveal Jesus to us. We ask that as we go into the world, you will speak to us. You will minister to us. You will grant us grace not to be hearers alone deceiving ourselves, but grace to be doers of your words. Holy Spirit, we surrender ourselves to you. We surrender this environment to you. We banish every power. We banish every work. We banish every manifestation that is against the name of Jesus. We release the fire of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask Holy Spirit for liberty in the Spirit. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us, that each one of us will receive specific words from you this morning. Thank you, eternal Father, for we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Experiencing God has been, for many of us, I know it's been a very, very important lesson that we've been learning. And the Lord is already doing something major in our lives. When we started 4 or 5 weeks ago, the first lesson we learned was about God's will and our lives. The second week we learned about the need for us to continue to look to God. Last week, the theme was God pursues a love relationship. Today, our topic is love and God's invitation. Love and God's invitation. I'm sure that we have been learning our memory verses. Who can tell us what the first week's memory verse was? That was easy, right? What was the memory verse for the first week? You said in children's ministry, you first say the passage before you say the words. Yes. John 15. In children's ministry, we demonstrate 15. 15 is, this is 10, this is 5. John 15, 5, verse 5. John chapter 15. Sorry, I'm bringing children's ministry here. Let's not go there, so I won't keep you here forever. John 15, verse 5. It says what? Who was speaking there? Jesus. So when you are ending, you end again with this, the verse, I mean the scripture passage, John 15, verse 5. Week 2, what was our memory verse? Psalm 20, verse. What does it say? Some trust in chariots, some in horses. We do what? We trust in the name of the Lord. Thank you. Last week, what was our memory verse? Matthew 22, 37 to 38. What does it say? Some people are already, We want to encourage us to learn these memory verses. It's very interesting. What was our memory verse for last week? John 14. Now only few people are talking. I would have given you gifts, 1, 2, 3, if I had one here. Let's clap for them. They were the only ones I had. Thank you very much. So we've been learning about God. We've been learning about the Word of God. Today our focus is on love and God's invitation. The love relationship that exists between God and His children is very important to Him. Let me say that again. The love relationship that exists between God and His children is very important to Him. The love relationship that exists between you and God, your Maker, is very important to Him. God is deliberate about His love towards you. God has called us to love Him because He loves us. And this call to love Him is also a call to go on mission for Him. It's also a call to be on mission for Him. It's also a call for us to do assignments for Him. It's also a call for us to work for Him. When we love Him with all of our hearts, we will be willing to respond to His call to carry out His assignments. So when we love the Lord with all of our hearts, just like if a woman loves a man, or if a man loves a woman, she's ready to go all the way. She's ready to do anything. Any man that loves a woman is ready to do anything. The likes of that person becomes his likes. You know, the dislikes of that person becomes his dislikes. The same way with God. When we love the Lord, we must be ready to go all the way for Him. And so, as God calls us to love Him, His invitation is for us to know Him by experience. This call to love is a call to know Him by experience. That was the first lesson we learned on Monday, that we must seek to know God by experience, because that's the best way we can know Him. You know, if you are relating with someone closely, that experience of your relationship helps you to know that person intimately, isn't it? If you are not relating with somebody closely, you may not be able to know that person intimately. We all are members of the same body of Christ. We come to church. But do you know that the way I know Mr. Zoto is not the way Mrs. Zoto knows Mr. Zoto, right or wrong? I see Mr. Zoto once in a while on Sundays. And when we used to gather on Wednesdays, I see him on Wednesdays. But now that we only see on Sundays, I cannot, if somebody asks me to talk about Mr. Zoto, will I be able to conveniently and adequately talk about who Mr. Zoto is? Who should that question go to? His wife of maybe over 30 years, okay? She's the one that can tell you what time he wakes up, his likes and his dislikes. And that is what God is asking us to do. He wants us to know him by what? By experience. That you have a one-on-one experience with him. And this is not strange, or this is not difficult. Anyone can have a one-on-one experience with God. Anyone. You know, we learned, like, maybe the third week, that God can use anyone, isn't it? He can use anyone. As long as you surrender yourself to him as a clay in the hand of the potter. So God can use you. So the experience of God that you are having, the intimacy that you are having with God, will help you to do what? To know him. That is what God is asking us to do. You may not be adequately able to speak about someone if you have not had a one-on-one experience with that person. And in order for us to know God personally, you must know him by experience as he reveals himself to you. As he reveals himself to you. If a man wants to marry a woman, if a woman wants to marry a man, they may pretend during courtship. And you know, we can court for 4 years. As long as you are not living together, you have not really known that person. By the time you begin to live together under the same roof, you begin to discover some things you've never seen. That is experience. That is what intimacy brings. So when you want to know God, you must have that readiness to have an intimate relationship with him. We look at the book of Moses in chapter 3, when God was calling Moses to go and bring out his people. Moses was asking God, if they ask me who has sent me, what will I tell them? The reason why Moses was asking God was because he had not had a personal, intimate relationship with God by experience. But as time went by, as God began to reveal himself to Moses, Moses began to know God by experience. And you know, you read that through those experiences, he began to give God names. God told Moses, my name is who? I am. I am. Everything you want, I am. I am. I am that thing. I am this, I am that. In other words, you can fix anything. I am that person. I am God, the all in all. But as time passed and Moses began to experience God, he could begin to give God names. He could begin to give God names. When himself and the children of Israel went to face the Amalekites, he gave God a name. What name did he give him? Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Okay? Everyone that had a relationship with God in the Bible, they began to give God names by the experiences that they had with him. Abraham, when the Lord told him, Genesis 22, I think, to go and sacrifice his son, his only son. And the Lord showed him that he was the one that would provide. He gave God name. What name did he give him? Jehovah Jireh, the God who does what? Who provides. What name can you give God? Going by your experience with him, do you have a name for God? Today, some call God Jehovah Overdo, Jehovah Talk and Do. Any name that fits his relationship or your relationship with him and your experience with him is the name that God wants you to give to him. The only way you can truly know God is by having an experience with him. So you must be open to the things he reveals to you, because he takes the initiatives to open himself to you. And unless you are open, you cannot know God personally through those experiences. So our own is to open ourselves to him, to not hide anything from him, to not hold back anything from him, to open ourselves to him so that we can know him by experience, so that we can have an experience with God. We can know him. This invitation is also a call to worship God. Remember, our theme is love and God's invitation. This invitation is also a call to do what? To worship God. One way to experience God is to worship him. And the best way to worship him is by proclaiming his name, because that shows that you recognize him and you are seeking his presence. You know, in Yoruba, in Africa, our names have meanings, isn't it? Every one of you, if I ask you your name, you will tell me, and you will tell me the meaning of your name. Because our parents don't just wake up and call you stone. They won't just wake up and call you white. They will not wake up and call you black. They will call you names that suggest their experiences, their prayers, their expectations, or their experience. So, when you call God by his name, it means that you are identifying that God is powerful and you're actually seeking his presence. You want to see his manifestation. You want to talk about his deeds as you call his name. So God is saying, my relationship with you, my invitation is for you to worship me. It's for you to worship me. If you enter into the palace of the king, first thing in the morning, what would the people, there are men or women who have been stationed there, what do they do? What are they doing? What are they doing early in the morning before the king comes into his chambers? What are they doing? They are praising him. They are referring him with his names, or even other names that go with that office that he occupies. I think it's the Alaafin Oyo that they call Ikuba Bayeye, isn't it? Alasha Ekeji Orisha. And if you hear the Benin people, when they begin to talk about the Oba, you hear those heavy, heavy names. Even if you do not understand, just listening to those names show that they are doing what? They are worshiping their king. These are earthly kings. that people are worshiping. God is saying, worship me. Worship my name. Give glory to my name. Identify my name. In other words, mention my name. Let me hear as you mention my name. Let me hear as you worship my name. Because God enjoys when you know, just like a man comes into the palace of the king and he's saying nice things and he's saying beautiful, beautiful, nice things. You know that king can do and undo. He can even remove his agbada and throw to that man. If that man requests for anything, what will he do? Because he's excited, because he's satisfied, because he's happy that you are doing what? That man is worshiping him. And that is what God is calling us to do. He's calling us to worship him. He's calling us to adore him, to recognize him, to worship his name. The God who is greater than the earthly kings wants you to praise him. So when you see God's name in scripture, it is a call for you to worship him, because that name tells of who he is and what he does. Okay? So, or what he has done. So you must always come to God with praise. We praise God for who he is. We thank him for what he has done. So the ways to worship God through his name include to bless his name, to glory in his name, to rejoice in his name, to sing praise to his name, to declare his name, to praise his name, to trust in his name, and to love his name. I hope somebody took time to do that last week. But God will give us opportunity before we go to also do it if you didn't do it. Or even if you did it, you cannot overpraise God. You cannot overworship God, because he's the source of our worship. And he calls us to do that. So every day, as we come before the Lord to make our time to worship his name is powerful and tells of his works. This love and God's invitation is also a call for you to love God. It's a call for us to love God. God is calling us to love him, because you cannot doubt that he loves you. God loves you. God loves me. And God is saying, love me. So day three is saying, love God. Love should not be one-sided. If you love someone and you do not see that person showing love to you in return, what do? You want to back off. You think you are forcing yourself on that person. So God is calling you to love him. You must reciprocate God's love. God, at his own initiatives, pursues what? What's our day? I mean, day two. Not, day one is what? God is always. Day two, God does what? Pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. Real and personal. Just you. You and I. God is saying, me and you, we want to be in a relationship. He says, love me. If you doubt the love of a man, how will you feel? If by his actions he shows you that you are not the only one, how will you feel? God is saying, let me be your focus. Love me. Let me know that you love me. Let me see by your actions that you love me. Because God is pursuing, he's showing us every time that he loves us. So his desire is for you to know him, to love him, and to worship him. In John chapter 14, let's open to John 14, 21. John 14, 21. Jesus says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who does what? Anyone who has my commands and keeps them is the one who does what? Anyone, I'm saying that a third time. Anyone who has his commands and keeps them, obeys them, is the one who does what? Who loves him. He says, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. In other words, your obedience is the way you express your love to God. The way you express your love towards God is by obeying when he tells you to do something. When he reveals to you where he's walking, and you immediately obey him, You are saying you do what? You love God. It is not just following the letter of the law, but following the spirit of the command as well. The writer of Experiencing God, he says somewhere, if you have an obedience problem, you have a love problem. Focus your attention on God's love. Because if you love someone, you want to quickly please him by carrying out his desires and requests. Isn't it? Isn't it? When you are in love, how many of us have been in love before? Or you are still in love? Don't be shy. Today is Valentine. Young people, you are not in love. Nobody is in love here. I know you are in love. Me, I know you are in love. They hear me, I thought you would not raise your hand. How many of us are in love? Thank you. Were we shy before? When you are in love, and you are having a conversation with that person you love, you know you are taking in everything that person is saying, and you want to impress that person by doing those things. If your wife or your husband says, I want to eat, and I feel like eating pounded yam. He didn't tell you to make pounded yam, but he just says, I feel like eating pounded yam. Do you know if you love that man, what will you do? Can somebody test the love of his wife today by telling her, I feel like eating? Tell her what you feel like eating. Somebody is saying, don't go there. You know, sometimes my husband will say, we've not had gbegiri for some time. He's not asking me to make gbegiri. Many of us, you know what gbegiri, Ogbomosho people, they like it. He will come home and he will see gbegiri. He will say, when did you do this? I'll say, but you mentioned, why did I do that? He didn't have to ask me to make it, but he has mentioned it, he has said it. And so for me to show that I love him, what am I doing? Even if it is not going to be convenient, I'm going to do it to please him. God says, when you love me, when I'm showing you where I'm at work, and the things I want you to do, what will you do immediately? So if you have an obedience problem, you have a love problem. So the day my husband says, I feel like taking gbegiri, and I turn my head like gbegiri ko, gbegiri ni. You know, he will not know that I had. And he will not arrest me for not preparing it. But it shows that we are having problem in that relationship. What has God been telling you? What has God been showing you? And how have you been obeying? This Experiencing God book, the first time I had that, I was privileged to read it and to facilitate it. I just felt in my spirit, every Christian after the Bible must have this book. Because for me, it shook me to the core, and I've never recovered from it, and it's still shaking me now. Many times we want to look far away and think, some people, this is for some people. When God begins to talk to you, you get to the office in the morning, and you feel like, or you hear that voice, or you have that impression. And we should be praying in this office. But you think, you look around, pray there, before they will call me Holy Mary. The next morning, why not? I can call somebody and we can just pray for 5 minutes. But it goes, it comes, you are not doing anything. It shows that you have problem with your relationship with God. But you know what? Because you have not done it, you may get to the office next week and you see another sister and another brother and they're just praying in one corner. And how do you feel? I don't know whether this has happened to you. Or you see children around you and God is saying, these children walking around, somebody should. But you're just thinking, it's my thoughts. I don't know the particular area that God has been speaking to you since you started or the things he's already reminding you. Are you obeying God? Because Your obedience is a way you are showing that you love God. And so if you have an obedience problem, you have a love problem. Focus your attention on God's love. So your prayer will be that, Lord, I want to love you more. I want to love you more. I want to love you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with everything you have given me. I want to love you. I want to love you. Because the moment you love God, obedience becomes important and easy. If you love someone, you want to quickly please him by carrying out his desires and requests. Even children. I've seen children that were stubborn by human standard, or by the things they do. But the moment they knew that somebody, this woman loves them, they began to change because they could recognize that there is love. So when we as humans can respond to love, how much more? And that child that is stubborn, because you have shown that child love, do you know whatever you tell him to do, what will happen? He will do it. So let us work on our love. Because God's nature is love, you cannot doubt his love. And in his nature, God is love and his will is always best. So God loves you. So that thing he's asking you to do is not because he hates you. It's just for him to show that he loves you and he wants you to have the best. Okay? The way you relate with God now shows how much you love him and what you believe about him. God is all-knowing. His directions are always right. You can trust that what he is leading you to do is the best because he loves you perfectly. That is why you must trust him and obey what he's asking you to do. God is all-powerful. He can enable you to do his will. He will reveal himself to you the way you can understand. You will discover how easy it is to know and do his will when you trust in his love and surrender in obedience. God shows he loves you through his commands. Deuteronomy 32 from verse 46 to 47 says, and he said to them, set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today. I wish we can have that being projected so we can read it together. Deuteronomy 32, 46 to 47. Media, can you give us Deuteronomy 32, 46 to 47? Can we read it together, please? Let's go. One, two, go. He said to them, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. 47. They are not just idle words for you. They are what? By them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. This was Moses telling the people what God wanted them to do. And he's saying, God gave you this command so that you can live by it. You can teach your children to live by it. They are not things that God is telling you so that he can punish you. He's actually telling you so you will not fall into errors, so you will not get into trouble. And he says they are your life. So when we love God, we will obey his command. And his commands are to guide us so we will not fall into error. He gives us guidelines for living so we will not fall into danger and landmines. He knows the way. We must follow him. 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. God's commands are designed to guide you. Page 77, can you open to page 77 in your book? Second to the last paragraph. I want us to read it together. Page 77, second to the last paragraph. Are you there? Let's read it together. God's commands are designed to guide you to life's best. You will not obey him, however, if you do not believe him and trust him. You will not believe him if you do not love him. You cannot love him unless you know him. But if you really come to know God as he reveals himself to you, you will love him. If you love him, you will believe and trust him. If you believe and trust him, you will do what? You obey him. So, when we love God, we will obey him. God's invitation, God's love and invitation It's also an invitation for us to join him. That's day four. It's an invitation for us to do what? To join him. What is the third reality? What's the third reality of experiencing God? I'm not hearing you. God does what? Invites you to become involved with him where he is at work. The moment you see God at work around you, that is an invitation for you to adjust your life to him and join him where he is at work. Every one of us cannot become pastors. But experiencing God is telling us that we can experience God day by day and do his work in our lives, in our daily lives. And so God is not, this experiencing God is not, oh, so that I will go to the seminary. Don't be afraid. It's not compulsory that you go to the seminary. But God is saying that he's inviting you to join him where he's working. That every day, today, God is working around you. Today, God is working around me. But do I notice what God is doing? Am I sensitive to what God is doing? Because God is always working around you. The moment you see God at work, that is an invitation for you to do what? To do what? Adjust. To adjust. You are the one that we adjust. Many times we want God to adjust. We don't want to be the one to adjust. We begin to say, oh God, this is not convenient. This is not convenient. If I have to do this, I may have to travel. I may have to leave my job. I may have to. If you love God, it will not matter what it will cost you. Am I talking to someone? It will not matter what it will cost you. The relationship you have to do away with, even location sometimes. You may need to change your location in order to do God's will. You may need to sacrifice your time in order to do God's will. Because God is always at work around you. So the moment you see him at work, the moment you see what he's doing, the moment you become sensitive to his dealings around you, that is a time you need to adjust your life to him and join him where he's at work. God is working all around you. You need to see what he's doing and join him. God's method is to choose men and women through whom he can work in order to accomplish his purpose in the world. God wants to use men and women. He wants to use people. He is not going to use stones. Although he said if people refuse to praise him, he can raise stones. But his work to be carried out on earth will be by men and through men. Those men that we are hearing about, we read about some of them in Experiencing God, week two, week three. They were not angels. They were ordinary people. The only thing was that they obeyed. And they made those major adjustments in their lives. And God is calling every one of us to make major adjustments in our lives. To begin to follow as he reveals his will to us. He walked through Noah. He walked through Abraham, isn't it? He walked through Moses. He walked through the 12 disciples. He walked through the apostles. And he's still interested in walking through you. Are you open to God? All of these people had to make major adjustments. What did he tell Abraham to do? What did he tell Abraham to do? He should do what? He should leave. Abraham had to leave where he was staying to go to where he didn't know. That was a major adjustment. How about Moses? Did he make any major adjustments? He made major adjustments. How about Noah? He said he should build an ark. Nobody had ever done that. That was an adjustment. You think it was easy for him to be putting things together and everybody was laughing at him? And the reason why many of us are not willing to make major adjustments is because we are mindful of what people will say. How they will say, when did you become like this? What is difficult about Christianity that you are putting all of this on your head? We must be willing and ready to make major adjustments in our lives. God wants to use us. He wants to use his people. In Amos chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets. So when he reveals to you, he's calling you to do what? To join him where he's working. And one very important passage that we looked at was John chapter 5, verse 17 and verses 19 to 20. There Jesus said, my Father is always at his work to this day. And I too am doing what? I'm working. So you as a child of God, your father is walking. You must join him where he's walking. He says, I tell you the truth. The son cannot do nothing by himself. He can only do only what he sees the father doing. Because whatever the father does, the son also does. For the father loves the son and shows him all he does. The son cannot do. He can only watch what he's seeing the father as the father is doing. And then he does what? So we also must keep watch. We must continue to focus on God and become sensitive. As you become sensitive, so see what the Father is doing, then you can join him. So the revelation of what the Father was doing was the invitation that Jesus had to join God where he is walking. So when you become sensitive to the workings of God around you, it is your invitation to adjust your life to him and join him where he's at work. It is possible, however, for God to be walking around someone and he will refuse to see it. Like the servants of Elisha, they didn't see. So as you intimately relate with God, you'll be able to see where he's at work around you. On Friday, we discovered that this love and God's invitation is also a call for us to know where God is at work. He invites us to join him. But how can we know where he's at work? How can we know? How can we know? How can we become people who know? It is when we become childlike in our obedience and we do not allow opportunities to slip past us because we want to be very sure. Hello? We want to be what? This thought that I should start devotions in my office. I will pray about it. I'll pray so that I can be very sure. But the question is, can the devil tell you to do that? Hello? Can the devil be the one that is telling you to start devotion in your office? You see the way we normally do things. We know, but we want to be sure. We now begin to be spiritual. He says one way, the writer of Experiencing God says, one way to know where God is at work is when he calls your attention to the things only he can do. Hello? He calls your attention to the things only he can do. That is when you know that this is not coming from me. This is coming from God, and I must join him where he's walking. God is the one that takes the initiative to open your spiritual eyes, to see where he's at work. Only the Spirit of God can call our attention to do things for God, to see the specific things the Lord is doing around us. He's the one who can make people want to follow him by asking spiritual questions. So you know God is at work when somebody begins to ask questions about God, about the Bible. When somebody begins to talk about living a holy life. Those are signals that God is working. And I think it was Unit 2 or so where he gave the example of how they started fellowship on a campus. That he told the students, the moment somebody begins to ask about God, begin to take that serious. And many times God brings all of this to us, but we do not pay attention because we want to be very sure. And before you know it, it goes. So when someone comes to you asking about spiritual matters, or become fascinated about the discoveries of spiritual truth, or is being convicted of sin, or is concerned about righteousness and judgment, you need to understand that God is at work. So when you see any of this, you need to begin to pray. You begin to do what? Pray and see what will happen next. So when you begin to see, God says, I should start a fellowship in my office every morning immediately as I come. Begin to pray and then begin to be sensitive as you talk to Sister A. You talk to Agnes. Agnes, can we pray when we finish? Now look at what happens. Did Agnes say no problem? Even if Agnes says no problem, or he says no, I can't. Go to another person. What is that person saying? Or did Agnes say, oh, that's good, and that will be good. Oh, that is an invitation for you to join God. So you must take that invitation seriously. Many of the things that God is doing around us, many of the things he's calling us to do, many of these experiences of God are the things that we see every day. They are events that unfold around us every day. But because we are not sensitive, we allow it to pass. We do nothing about it. Sometimes our fears, our short-sightedness make us to limit God and to think that some things are better left for others to do and not ourselves. But God is telling us this morning that God loves us. He wants us to love him. And God is inviting us to join him where he's walking. God is speaking to us as individuals. He's speaking to us as a church, body of Christ. That whatever he tells us to do, whatever he reveals to us, there are things that he can make happen. There are not things that we can do by our power, but he himself can make them happen. So when we become sensitive to know what he is about to do, where we are, we should be assured that he will surely make it happen. Isaiah 46:11 says, "What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do." So whatever God is asking you to do this morning, be rest assured that God is able to make it happen. That burden that comes to you every time is God's invitation for you to join him where he's at work. Can you bow your head this morning and thank the Lord for the opportunity that you have again to hear his word? You have been reminded of what God is doing around you. Can you pray, "Father, Lord, help me to be sensitive to what you are doing. Help me to be sensitive. Help me to be sensitive. That as I know you by experience, that I will know you by experience, that I will know you by experience, that my walk with you will be genuine, will be strong, will be perfect, so that I will experience you day by day, that I will spend time in your presence. Nothing will hold me back from spending time in your presence." Can you ask God, "Help me. Help me, Lord, to worship you. Help me, Lord, to worship you. Help me, Lord, to worship your name. Help me, Lord, to worship your name." Can you worship the name of God? What is God's name to you? Begin to call those names of God that you know. I want us to rise on our feet at this point. I want you to call the names of God that you know. What are those names of God that you know? It may be your own personal name for God. It may also be the names of God that you have seen in the Bible. Can you begin to mention those names? Let him hear you. He says, "Worship me." God wants you to worship him. Worship the Almighty God, the El Shaddai. Worship the God, the Most High God, the El Elyon. Is the Adonai, the Lord, our Master? Is the Jehovah Yahweh? Is the Jehovah Nisi, our banner? Is the Jehovah Ra, the Lord, our shepherd? Is the Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer? Is the Jehovah Shammah, the Lord, who is there? Is the Jehovah Sikeno, the Lord, our righteousness? Is the Jehovah Mekodishke, the Lord who satisfies, who sanctifies? Is the Jehovah Olam, the everlasting God? Is the Elohim? Is the Jehovah Jireh, our provider? Can you begin to worship him? Let him hear you this morning as you worship him. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. The Jehovah Roi, the God who sees. The Jehovah Omnipotent, the powerful God. Omnipresent God who is everywhere. Omniscient, the God who knows all things. Can you begin to praise him? Lord, help me to worship you. Help me to love you. Pray, Lord, I want to love you. I want to love you more. I want to love you more. I want to love you more. God invites you to join him where he's walking. Can you pray, "Lord, I surrender to you"? Who wants to surrender to Jesus today? "I surrender to you. I want to join you where you are walking. I want to join you. Open my eyes to see where you are walking. And grant me grace to not waste time. Help me, Jesus, so I will not waste time. Help me, Jesus, so I will not waste the opportunity." Can you tell God, "Lord, help me"? If you are in this congregation, you already see where God is walking, but you are being slow. You are not acting. Can you raise your hand up and pray, "God, help me. I see where you are walking." He's already telling you things to do. He's already calling your attention to things he's doing. But you are afraid. You don't know how to go about it. You know, the first step is to obey. Just obey. And then you watch what happens next. Can you raise your hand to the Lord? "Father, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. to love you. We sing that song, My Jesus, I Love You, as we pray.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the force of sin, oh, I resign.
I want to love you. Can you tell him I want to love you? Let him hear us say, I love you, Lord. I want to love you more. I want to love you more. I want to love you more. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I give my heart to you. I give my love to you. Lord, I want to love you. 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 We'll sing this, the final stanza, and we will pray. Invitation is to every one of us to love you, to love you with all of our hearts, to love you to the point that we are willing to obey what you tell us. We are willing and ready to adjust our lives so we can obey you. Lord, you know us. We surrender ourselves and our will to you. We surrender our minds and our hearts to you. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit, that we will not hold back. We will not hold back. That the way you are walking around us, you will help us to see, and you will help us to rise up and do that which you have called us to do in the name of Jesus. That as a church, those big assignments you are calling us into this year, we will not question you. Father, we will not question you. We will not wonder where the budget will come from. We will not question where the money will come from. But we will trust you that you are the one who loves us and you are leading us and you are sufficient enough to carry out your work by yourself. Lord, please make us vessels of honor in your hands. Make us vessels of honor. Find us useful and usable. Help us to surrender. Help us to be moldable as we surrender ourselves unto you. Thank you, eternal Father. Glory and honor to your name. For we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name.
We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5 to 7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.